Hi, so I'm Swapna Abhyankar, and I'm a pediatrician and an informatics fellow at the National Library of Medicine. And today I'm here to talk about basically electronic standardization of newborn screening results and where states are with implementation according to the HRSA NLM guidance. So just a very brief overview of newborn screening. So as everyone knows, it's universal screening of infants for potentially life-threatening but treatable conditions. Most programs are screening for a minimum of 29 conditions out of the 30 that are on the Secretary's Advisory Committee panel, the Uniform Screening Panel. SCID, which is the 30th condition, was just added last year, and so there's some programs that have started testing for SCID, but some have not, so that's why there's the discrepancy between 29 and 30. And except for hearing screening, all the tests are run on the dried blood spots. And it's kind of a unique model where basically the specimen collection device is the same as the data collection form for the dried blood spot. And so I know it's a very small picture that I have on the slide, but you can see the top of the card is where all of the data is collected, and then the five little circles at the bottom is where the baby's blood goes. And then the results have different implications. So for some results, there's very immediate implications, like for galactosemia or for sickle cell. And then for others, there's more long-term implications, including patients that have a trait or genetic counseling for future pregnancies. So in terms of the dried blood spot reporting, different programs can report the same result in a variety of ways. Some programs report quantitative results, some report qualitative results, and some just report an overall summary, like all screening normal. And then the method of delivery also varies. So results that require urgent attention are often delivered by phone. But otherwise, a lot of times, some abnormal results are delivered by mail, like a sickle cell trait or G6PD. And then up until recently, most normal result reports were mailed, but states are actually moving away from sending individual normal result reports. And I know of at least two states where, one, they're either providing the hospital with sort of a monthly list of infants with normal newborn screening results, or they have a central web portal where providers can actually look up the result, but the program isn't actually sending them out. So in terms of standardizing the newborn screening reporting, I'm not going to spend too much time on this part because we've covered this before in a lot of different venues, but basically it's a collaborative effort with input from multiple federal agencies, and we call it the HRSA NLM guidance, but really there are many, many agencies that contributed. We're using vocabulary standards such as LOINC, SNOMED, CT, and UCOM units of measure for quantitative results to code all of the different conditions and tests and analytes. And then we've developed an HL7 template for reporting the newborn screening data as well as test results using all of the above codes. And all of this guidance was approved by the Secretary's Advisory Committee, Lab and Lab Standards and Procedures Committee. In addition, so all of that work has been done over the last several years, and then more recently we worked with the Public Health Informatics Institute, or PHII. We're part of a work group with many other agencies to create the HL7 newborn screening order as well as result implementation guide. And our primary role through NLM was to provide the technical input on the vocabulary standards and electronic messaging. And they actually incorporated their HRSA NLM guidance into the implementation guides, and those can be found on the PHII website. So in terms of benefits of standardizing, obviously simplifying, speeding up reporting so that multiple recipients can receive the reports at the same time. It's much easier to share data across state boundaries. And it's a very common example. I'm from Maryland, so we have babies that are born in Maryland who live in Virginia and have pediatricians in Virginia, and it's very hard for them to track down the results for those babies, and vice versa as well. And then in the event of a natural disaster or other emergency, if results reporting is standardized, one state could take over testing for another state, and the process would be relatively streamlined in comparison to what would happen currently. It also allows cross-referencing with other data sources, including birth certificate and hearing screen results. It's much easier to maintain follow-up registries and the long-term follow-up data as well. And then also just to support quality assurance, lab performance measures, and allow pooling of data across states. Most of these conditions are extremely rare, so it's hard to make that much progress with research on the testing and the treatment. But if results can be pooled across you know, 50 states as opposed to just from one state, it would make research more effective. And then also to enable clinical decision support and quality improvement by using SNOMED CT codes tied to the conditions to standardize the EHR problem list. So I want to go through several examples of states that are in the process of implementation. And starting with Kentucky, basically the Kentucky Newborn Screening Lab and Lab System Vendor have developed a fully specified HL7 newborn screening result message. All the local codes are mapped to LOINC, and they're including the quantitative results as well as the interpretations. There are multiple review cycles where we basically went back and forth, and that process resulted in refining the guidance as well as their HL7 message. And different issues that we covered were reference ranges, units of measure, and how to report hemoglobinopathy screening, which I'll get to in a couple more slides. They're using the MIRTH open source software to interface to the Kentucky Health Information Exchange, which is KHE. And they validated normal newborn screening test messages, and they're in the process of validating second-tier testing results. And I actually heard this morning that they've gone live with sending microbiology results from the lab to KHE, and newborn screening is just around the corner. And then the primary care providers will be able to get the screening results directly from the Health Information Exchange. In Indiana, so the Indiana Department of Public Health maintains a newborn screening registry, which includes the dried blood spot as well as the hearing screen results and birth defect information. The data from the registry is matched to vital records, and currently there's about 90% matching between the two. And the newborn screening program has been collaborating with Regenstrief Institute to make the registry information available through the General Indiana Health Information Exchange as well. And they've been sending HL7 messages since October of last year. In Utah, there's a system called CHARM, and that's the Integrated Child Health Record. That includes vital records, dried blood spot screen results, hearing screen, early intervention, and immunization records, and that's run by the Utah Department of Health. Currently, they're working on connecting CHARM with a new standards-based clinical HIE, which they're calling CHI. And the newborn screening program is very close to completely incorporating all the LOINC and SNOMED codes and sending test HL7 messages to the CHI. A web-based virtual health record will allow providers to access the newborn screening results. And then they're also working on linking the CHARM data to the Intermountain Healthcare's EHR system. Just a couple more examples. So Colorado, the public health program is working with the newborn screening lab to figure out the best process for incorporating the LOINC and SNOMED codes into the vendor software. And then they're also working on an integrated data system. So the goal is to capture the dry blood spot, hearing results, immunizations, developmental data, as well as short and long-term follow-up variables. And they're currently also matching the vital records with about an 80% match to date. In New York, they actually have several pilot programs. They've been piloting electronic data transmission by HL7 messages with Mount Sinai Hospital, and they plan to contract with 10 additional hospitals in the coming year to send newborn screening data and receive results, so a bidirectional flow via HL7. They've implemented a web-based electronic data transmission application called Remote Demographic Entry, where the hospital staff basically enters the newborn screening data electronically, and 5 birth hospitals are currently submitting via the system, and the benefit is that then the people in the lab don't have to wait until they get the cards to enter and then enter all the information by hand. 2 hospitals are actively working to implement a hybrid model using a combination of HL7 file transfer and web entry. And then the Department of Health has established the Child Health Information Integration Project to enable the integration of the data sets within the various Department of Health programs. So they're planning in phase 1 to integrate newborn blood spot screening, hearing detection, immunization, lead screening, early intervention, vital statistics, and then statewide perinatal, neonatal, intensive care unit data. The last few examples, so Iowa and Virginia were very involved in helping out with the PHII implementation guides, and both of those states are working to create order and result messages according to the PHII guides and the HRSA NLM guidance. In Illinois and Oregon, both states are developing HL7 messages according to the specifications. In Illinois, it's a bidirectional message that they're working on, and in Oregon, currently it's results only, but the goal is to have it go both ways. And the unique thing about Oregon is that they serve five other states. So once they go live, it really means that six states have gone live with electronic reporting. And then in some states, like Texas, they have legacy systems that don't comply with the current guidelines, but they're working very closely with the vendors to update and standardize their systems. So just to show you that this is a work in progress, it's been an iterative process, so both when we were working with PHII and also as we've gotten feedback from states, we've been continuously updating the guidance to make it more useful in the future. And so during the PHII guide development, we found several variables for which there were no existing LOIN codes, so we requested new ones and they're now available on our website. We've also continued to refine the guidance as different state programs discovered some gaps or inconsistencies in the code or the HL7 template. And then we currently have a partnership with the Secretary's Advisory Committee, Lab and Standards Subcommittee to achieve consensus on any new variables or conditions or codes that people request to be added so that, you know, it's more of a consensus process. Updates that were made based on the PHII work, we created new LOIN codes for the birth hospital as well as the contact information for the birth hospital, the discharge provider, as well as unique identifier for the provider, as well as the practice. Also the date of last transfusion, which is recorded on a lot of the dried blood spot cards and can affect the newborn screening interpretation, did not previously have a LOIN code. And then we refined some of the work that was done previously as well, like data types, cardinality, whether or not the observation was required. Just one specific example of changes that we made. Originally, there was one LOIN question for clinical events that affect newborn screening interpretation, and that included things like blood transfusion, but without the date, and TPN. And we received feedback from multiple states as well as the Secretary's Advisory Committee that these six answers didn't fit all of the scenarios. So basically, we turned the one question into three questions. So now we have a much longer list of infant NICU factors that affect the interpretation. That includes more medications and some conditions as well that can affect the interpretation. Also, we expanded the list of feeding types to include not only TPN and then the lactose-free formula that can affect the galactosemia interpretation, but also carnitine, MCT, IV dextrose, and other options as well. And then we also added a question for maternal factors that affect newborn screening interpretation, which had been missing from our earlier panel. We've also added new variables for new conditions and analytes over the past year. And so when SCID was approved, we created new LOIN codes for an entire SCID panel, so that includes the quantitative test result as well as the interpretation and the comment. And then for five lysosomal storage disorders as well, and what you see on the screen is just an excerpt, but there's a subpanel for all five of the lysosomal storage disorders, and we're working on incorporating more. To go back to the hemoglobinopathy result reporting just for a second, the original guidance had the way to report the hemoglobinopathy result was to develop a list of all possible combinations of all possible hemoglobin types that could be found. But as you can imagine, this became very unwieldy and was not really usable. And this is just a very small excerpt of that whole list that we had been working on, which was not even complete by any stretch of the imagination. So we actually worked with several different state programs, labs, CDC, and we devised a new method for reporting hemoglobinopathy results. So basically, we developed five new questions for five possible hemoglobin types that can be found in one sample. And the feedback we got was that five is the most that has been identified in any state to this point from one sample. So there's basically the most predominant, second most predominant, et cetera. And only the number of codes that you found in the sample have to be used. So if you only found two types of hemoglobin, you only have to use the first two codes. And then there's a list of 20 possible hemoglobin types, one by one, so F, A, A indeterminate, A2, et cetera. And these also, we sent them around to all the states for review, and this is the list that sort of encompasses everything that people report. And then it's basically a simple method where you just use one of the hemoglobin types for each of the hemoglobins that were found. And so it simplifies it, and if there's a new hemoglobin type that's found, we can just figure out one more LOIN code instead of coming up with all of the different combinations with all of the pre-existing hemoglobin types. And then there's also a new LOIC code for hemoglobin unidentified, because a lot of times programs report that there was an unidentified hemoglobin, but that information without any other context is kind of a void, and you have no idea what that means. But if they can report, okay, we can identify these 10 hemoglobins, but this one we did not identify, then it gives you a little bit better idea of what's going on. So just to summarize, as we've heard today, and that's why everybody's here, standardizing newborn screening and other public health results is very critical. The HRSA NLM guidance allows newborn screening labs and programs to send and store all the results in one common format. As new conditions and tests are discovered, it's very easy to add new codes and update the guidance. And also, if there's things that need to be changed in the current guidance, it's very easy to do that as well. And I think many states are very close to electronic reporting of the newborn screening results, and we hope that many others are soon to be following their lead. So I just have a couple of resources, and I actually have a few handouts here too, just with the information about the website and also UMLS, so if you're interested, you can come up. But basically, it just has an overview of the Newborn Screening Codes website. And the website has downloadable newborn screening panel, as well as the sample HL7 message, all the SNOMED codes, the LOIC codes for all the test conditions and analytes. And then I'll have the link to the PHII website as well. And just some acknowledgments. So we worked with a lot of different federal agencies, and this is probably just a subset of those, and then also all of the states that were willing to share their information with us so they could present it today. And that's it. Thank you.
Okay, so I know they're recording this session, so I'm going to try to come around with this microphone and get any questions that you all have for any of our panelists. But thank you all so much. It was very informative. So, questions?
I'll start with that.
Yeah, earlier you talked about associating LOINCs with various interpretations for the hearing screening. I was curious, are those fixed interpretations, like from a select list then, or did you have something that was more like a free text parsing to make that association?
Wait, I wasn't sure if that was for me. Can you restate it again? I'm sorry.
One of the speakers noted that there was LOINC associations with hearing screening interpretations. And so my question is, were those fixed interpretations, in other words, like a select list or something along those lines, or did you have some kind of fancier text parsing that was done to make that association?
No, those were defined. We submitted those to National Library of Medicine to get those codes actually. So it was a short list. Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. We vetted that with a number of states too. It wasn't, we just didn't make the stuff up.
My question is, a lot of work was put in developing the hearing loss project, and I was wondering, is that also being extended to other screening results? Because some are also not happening as often, but they are very severe results. Are there other projects going on?
I can talk about it in terms of some of the activity that's going on with IHE, Integrating the Healthcare Enterprise, and there's actually a maternal and child health profile that's being written. Much of that's being written around vital statistics at this point in time, or birth registration. However, there's a whole section on there to continue following the children for developmental screening. That's actually falls much into the realm of France, where they're actually doing a lot more longitudinal screening. And so we're actually, IHE is an international group. So we're working with the French to continue to move the maternal and child health profile forward. And I think there's probably much interest in other conditions being added to it. We are working, IHE is working on a public health reporting profile as we speak. We're also presenting that as an initiative to ONC. So I think there's going to be a lot of activities moving forward in that area. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I was just referring to the other panel results like sickle cell.
Oh,
and
good.
So I'm not sure I have that answer to your question, but I know there are a lot of efforts going on with short-term and long-term follow-up, and also with developing categorical sort of diagnostic criteria for each state's public health department to follow up on each baby and to, you know, to decide if it was a case or, you know, whether the baby did not fall into the criteria or what type of follow-up testing is needed. So that's focusing on all of the conditions that are on the dried blood spot screening, and same thing for the short and long-term follow-up criteria. And so we're working, once the data sets are developed, we're working on providing the codes, but I mean, hopefully that will be a step in that direction.
After all that beautiful work with the blood spot and the linking to the National Library of Medicine, are you also going to FinVADS with that?
To what, sorry?
FinVADS, the Public Health Information Networks. What does the VADS stand for, guys?
Vocabulary. Distribution system.
I don't know.
Okay. It's a good idea.
Sorry.
All right. Thank you.
Other questions? Great. Well, thank you all.
Thank you.